From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. It's Tuesday, November 28th. Coming up, we'll learn more about the tough conditions facing climate science communicators in the Midwest. That story is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is commending the city of Chicago for handling what he calls an unimaginable influx of asylum seekers. This is a departure from his comments earlier this month, when he criticized the city for moving too slowly in sheltering migrants as temperatures drop. At a Crane Chicago business lunch yesterday, Pritzker took credit for sending $160 million in additional funding to Chicago to help migrants get work permits and into housing.
You know, there came a point where, you know, you're close enough to the very cold weather that we just had to, you know, step in and try to step up the effort.
Pritzker says the state has yet to receive any federal funding to reimburse it for supporting migrants, and pleas with officials in Texas to divert migrant buses to other cities have gone unanswered. Yesterday was election filing day in Illinois. That means candidates for next year's elections lined up in Springfield yesterday at 8 a.m. to turn in petitions to get on the 2024 ballot. Among them was former Republican nominee for Governor Darren Bailey, who is trying to unseat GOP Congressman Mike Bost.
When you consider the representation and the conservative values of the 12th Congressional District, the district is too conservative for the congressman.
Bost district comprises the bottom 34 counties of the state, and he cites his 8 years of experience in Washington.
I'm chairman of the VA committee in Congress, a full committee chairman, not a subcommittee. It's vitally important. It's an advantage for your district.
The party primaries are March 19th. A new poll ranks the I-90-94 corridor through Chicago as the ninth most loathed adjoining interstate in the U.S. The Dan Ryan and Kennedy Expressways are part of the city's central nervous system, but with ongoing roadwork, the Jane Byrne interchange is a choke point for through traffic and commuters alike. Total Traffic and Weather Network's Mike Pries has been covering Chicago's roads for 19 years. He says he's surprised the interchange isn't number one on the list.
It's just this constant construction. It has been a nightmare for as long as just about anyone who's been driving it can remember. And even before construction, it was built too tight and too small for the modern needs of transportation.
The Eisenhower Expressway, which also comes into the Byrne Interchange, ranks 15th, while the Stevenson ranks 59th. Still to come, we'll learn more about the tough conditions facing climate science communicators in the Midwest. That story is next on 217 Today.
This November, American Masters presents a special about the life and music of bebop trailblazer and composer Max Roach. It's called Max Roach, The Drum Also Waltzes. This program tells the story of his career as a drummer and composer and his impact on social justice in America. Friends of WILL can stream the special anytime with Passport. Learn how you can become a member and access your PBS favorites anytime at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Farrah Anderson. Talking about climate change can be a tough job. That's especially true in places where audiences may be more skeptical of climate science. Climatologists and meteorologists across the Midwest and Great Plains say they're facing stress, burnout, and sometimes even death threats. Harvest Public Media's Elizabeth Rembert reports.
Back in 2021, Chris Gloniner was excited to start his new job as chief meteorologist at KCCI, a TV station in Iowa. He was moving from Boston to Des Moines to connect the dots between daily weather and climate change trends. It's something he'd honed over more than 15 years as a TV meteorologist, like when he covered flooding in New Hampshire.
What's causing it? It's a combination of rising sea level and astronomically high tide.
In Iowa, it got some viewers grumbling.
It was, you know, I don't need to hear your liberal conspiracy theories on our air. Take the politics out of your forecast.
That wasn't surprising. He expected pushback.
I just didn't expect the magnitude at the time and how quickly it went off the rails.
In summer 2022, Gloninger started receiving a steady flow of harassing emails. In one, the sender asked for his address and said, "We conservative Iowans would like to give you an Iowan welcome you will never forget." Gloninger had security, but says he still felt unsafe.
You never know what hill somebody is willing to die on.
Eventually, it became too much. After 2 years in Iowa, Gloninger moved back to the East Coast to be closer to his family and take a consulting job focused on climate solutions. While resistant voices can be loud, 90% of Americans are still open to learning about climate change, according to Ed Maybach with the Center for Climate Change Communication at George Mason University. Maybach says research shows people value hearing about climate change from trusted sources like meteorologists and climatologists.
Even in very conservative communities across America, their audiences have responded with overwhelming appreciation for the effort they're making.
But skepticism and hostility from the minority can be a challenge for people on the front lines of climate communication, especially in conservative states. I talked to climatologists and meteorologists in seven states who have encountered strong resistance, like Melissa Widhelm, who spent years presenting the science to communities in Indiana.
Every time you went out, you just weren't sure what you were going to get. You know, you always went in having to mentally prepare yourself that somebody could be there to cause trouble or not engage in a civilized way.
In Nebraska, that became too exhausting for Martha Durr, who recently resigned as the state's climatologist. She says she didn't feel she had anything left to give the job.
I went to school to become a scientist, and what I found myself doing the most of in this role is almost being a therapist and helping people through climate change.
For nearly 8 years, she tried to be empathetic and meet people where they were when it came to climate change. She pointed out local impacts that people could see in their own backyards. It was discouraging when her careful consideration ran into a wall of resistance.
It gets tiring trying to convince people that science is real and this is a fact. It isn't a point of debate. If you want to do that, you can go talk to somebody else, but I'm not at a place where I want to keep doing this.
When it gets tough for Melissa Widhelm, she thinks it might be easier in a more liberal state. But then she tells herself,
there's nowhere else that is more important to do this work than right here in Indiana, because otherwise it would not be talked about at all.
In Iowa, Chris Gloninger saw how much people appreciated his work. After he talked about the harassment on air, he received hundreds of messages from grateful viewers, which he printed out into a thick manuscript.
You were very honest in discussing climate change, which I appreciated. So sorry that you were harassed by the extremists out there. Fort Dodge, Iowa.
He hopes someone else will help Iowa viewers understand climate change. I'm Elizabeth Rembert, Harvest Public Media.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be sunny with a high of 29 degrees. That's it for today. Reporting today contributed by Mawa Iqbal and Elizabeth Rembert. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Farrah Anderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.